I'm Marty Moscowane. Welcome to Radio Times. Catholics in the Philadelphia area are still reeling from the announcement that the Archdiocese of Philadelphia is closing 45 elementary schools and 4 high schools at the end of the school year. Some 50 years ago, in 1961, 250,000 students attended Catholic schools in the region. Last year, enrollment was about 68,000. The Archdiocese made the announcement after receiving the recommendations of a Blue Ribbon Commission. It was established in 2010 and tasked with the job of creating a strategic plan for Catholic education. Two members of that panel join us on Radio Times. Jack Quinlan is a chair of the panel, former senior vice president and chief financial officer for DuPont. And Jack Quinlan, nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
Good morning, Marty.
Good morning. Also with us is Ed Hanway, a member of the Blue Ribbon Commission, and he's chairman emeritus of Cigna Corporation. Ed Hanway, nice to have you with us on Radio Times as well.
Good to be here, Marty.
And to our listeners, especially if you send children to Catholic schools in this region, lines open at 1-888-477-9499. That's 1-888-477-WHYY. Jack Quinlan, are you surprised by the shock, the upset, the sadness, the outrage, the anger that this decision has generated?
No, Marty, not really. I mean, we knew that it's a very emotional subject. You're dealing with where my kids go to school, and we dealt with it, and we were pretty realistic with what we had to do, and we did it, and we knew it was going to be a lot of emotion around it. It's unfortunate, but that's the reality of things.
Ed Hanway, do you think it could have been announced any differently to sort of soften the impact?
Marty, I don't know, really. There was a lot of thought given not only to the recommendations but to the impact that it would have on people. And a lot of thought given to communication and how that communication was to be handled. And I think people carried out their assigned task reasonably well. I agree with Jack. I think the emotion is understandable. If my children were in a situation where their school was being closed, I'd be very upset as well. But the decisions had to be made. And to this point, I think the communication has been reasonably effective. We tried to be very transparent. It's one of the reasons that Jack and I and others are willing to spend time and talk with people, because we want them to understand exactly how this process unfolded.
Jack, you have been quoted in a number of newspaper articles, in part criticizing the Archdiocese, saying that this decision should have been done about a decade ago. Can you expand on that?
Well, Marty, when you have 45 schools to close, somebody has to say to yourself, why these 45 didn't all go into economic distress at one time? And we did not have a process that forced these things to the surface in a more gradual way. And that's one of the things that the commission focused on right away, was this new governance model that we strongly recommend, that will create a elementary school board that has not been in existence. And it's our hope that the new elementary school board will create a strategic focus, so that these schools that are in trouble, that economically unsustainable, will start to surface, and will surface in a more gradual way and can be dealt with in real time. And maybe in real time, steps could be taken that would stop the slide and maybe keep more of them open. So, yes, I think we all felt that it was unfortunate we had to deal with 45 of them at one time.
You want to add to that, Ed Hanway?
I think Jack did a good job with it. So many schools that we reviewed, the situation in the school, the situation in the parish was not well understood by the school or the parish community in terms of the financial situation. And as a result, oftentimes parents are very upset, they're shocked, but they haven't had all the facts. And the governance structure that Jack mentioned going forward should enable much more proactive involvement from our parents and our parish community to ensure that the condition of schools and parishes are more effectively understood at the local level.
And I do want to get to more than just the closure recommendations, but if I can go back to you, Ed Hanway, looking at these 45 schools, elementary schools, and four high schools, what do they have in common? What was the thinking behind the decision that these were the schools that should be closed?
Well, Marty, it was a very fact-based set of conversations. First and foremost was enrollment, and not just the enrollment today, but the projected enrollment over the next 3 or 4 years. You know, if you have a school that the last year in the school has 25 students and the first year has 11, and it's been shrinking every year for the last 5 or 10, then you have a pretty good sense that that trend is going to continue. So enrollment was clearly one. Finances was another. We noted that the average deficit of schools across the Archdiocese, grade schools this is, was over $320,000. That's the average. And so finances played a role. But also, very importantly, we looked at the programming. We know the elements of a 21st century education that parents are looking for. They've told us that very clearly. And oftentimes when schools are in trouble, they start to cut those programming, like honors math and like world language. And we looked at the programming and what's happened to it and what the resources will support. So it was a pretty detailed, fact-based analysis, and we identified 40 to 45 schools that we felt were truly challenged.
Let me go back to you, Jack Quinlan, and in my introduction I said back in 1961, and this is just a fact, 250,000 students attended Catholic schools in this region last year, about 68,000. What do you think explains this dramatic drop of students?
Well, it's a combination, Marty. You have, first of all, you have a drop in population, in Catholic population. The number of baptisms is down dramatically in that period of time. So there's fewer Catholic children to begin with. Then you have the demographic shifts. You have people moving from one place to another. That's going to continue, but you have this dramatic shift in population. And it's not only Catholic population. The city itself has seen the shifts in their own school population. And finally, when you put all that together, you have the rising cost to run a school, and you take a smaller population and rising costs, you end up with higher tuition costs, and it just outpaces what people can pay.
And I do want to get to our callers. To you, Ed Hanway, I'm thinking of the students that attend the schools that are slated to be closed. What advice do you have for those students and those parents?
I guess I would say a couple of things. One, their disappointment, their anger is understandable. It's a very personal thing to have your school close or be merged. But secondly, the elements of Catholic education that those parents and those students value so highly, the value-based education, the faith formation that those schools offer, will be offered and improved in the regional schools. And this is a model that we believe is sustainable. So if there's one message to people, it is, while change is never easy, in this case it's necessary, and it should provide for a structure of Catholic education that can be sustained so that parents, when it's time to send that child to first grade, will have much greater confidence that that school is going to be there when that child graduates from eighth grade.
And we are talking about the announcement by the Archdiocese of Philadelphia that it will be closing 45 elementary schools and 4 high schools, based in part on the recommendations of a Blue Ribbon Commission. And 2 members of that commission join us, the chairman, Jack Quinlan, and a member of that commission, Ed Hanway. And we're taking calls at 1-888-477-9499. That's 1-888-477-WHYY. We particularly want to hear from you if you have children attending Catholic schools in the Philadelphia region. Let me get, looks like Ina from Philadelphia to join us. And Ina, go ahead, you're on the air.
Hi, my name is Ina Littman. I'm executive director of the Children's Scholarship Fund Philadelphia. And what we do is provide financial access for children in Philadelphia from low-income families to attend K through 8th grade private and parochial schools. So we're particularly impacted by this closure, given the fact that over the last 10 years, we have received over 110,000 applications for our 8,500 four-year scholarships. So there is tremendous demand for these schools, and what we've found is that it's a little hard to understand why there are so many designated failed Philadelphia public schools that are allowed to remain open and are fully funded and don't meet the educational needs of our children, yet these very effective and productive Catholic schools that are certainly serving the needs of children at much lower costs are closing for lack of funds. So it's been a sad point for us. We respect and appreciate that so many, we have about 175 area private tuition-based schools that remain, but again, demand from families for financial access is very strong, and alternative schools like charters simply can't scale up quickly enough to meet the educational needs of our children.
Well, Ina, let me give actually Jack Quinlan a chance to weigh in on that. Jack, any thoughts?
No, I think she said it very well. It's unfortunate that these are fine schools that we're closing. They can't go on the way they are. And if we had more public support, that a lot of these schools would not have closed.
Well, Ed Hanway, also part of the recommendations is a foundation for education. Can you expand on that?
I will, and I'll also ask Jack to chime in also. We've looked at other situations in other cities across the country. It is clear that there is a model for Catholic education that has established independent foundations whose sole purpose it is to allow people to contribute their funds specifically to education and be confident that those funds will be used for that. In the city of Philadelphia, we have Business Leaders for Catholic Schools that has done a tremendous job in bringing resources to bear and assisting in tuition support. But the notion of the foundation that the Blue Ribbon Commission recommended is even broader than that. And some of the members of the commission have had experience with private foundations themselves. We noted in the report a few examples in Chicago and in Colorado where these things have been very successful. And as your caller just indicated, at the end of the day, unfortunately, much of this is financially driven, and our cost of education is lower, the quality is very high, but we simply can't sustain some of these schools at the kind of deficits they're driving.
Well, and to you, Jack Quinlan, we're almost up at a break here, but how much money do you think the foundation will need to support the kind of education you're looking for?
Well, much more than you can look for in the short term. But the fact is that Ed mentioned other cities. Chicago, for example, has a fund that has excess of $200 million in it. It throws off $10 to $12 million a year in scholarship funds. So we need to get started. And I think there's a lot of people in the Philadelphia area who have of modest means that would be happy to find us put bequests in it or to contribute to it on a regular basis. So we're very optimistic about it. We're talking, though, to make it worthwhile, it's got to be in north of $100
million. $100 million. Well, let's take that short break. We'll get back to our conversation and our callers. That's Jack Quinlan, chairman of the 16-member Archdiocese of Philadelphia's Blue Ribbon Commission. And that commission recommended the closure of a number of schools, the merger of a number of schools here in the Philadelphia area. Ed Hanway is a member of that Blue Ribbon Commission, and we have just one or two open lines at 1-888-477-9499. Call us. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
The Philadelphia Orchestra supports WHYY. The Philadelphia Orchestra's January Beethoven celebration continues as Arabella Steinbacher performs Beethoven's Violin Concerto. Arabella Steinbacher joins conductor Robin Ticciotti for Beethoven's Violin Concerto. Tickets at philorc.org and at 215-893-1999. This Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at the Kimmel Center, the January Beethoven celebration continues with the Philadelphia Orchestra.
Hello, I'm Christine Dempsey.
And I'm Ed Cunningham.
Believe it or not, when Al Gore invented the internet, it was with YStream in mind.
YStream is a thank you gift that gives you online access to radio programs without pledge breaks.
And it'll be available to you during WHYY's upcoming member drive.
For all the details, including special discounts for current members, visit whyy.org/YStream.
We hope you'll look forward to not hearing us during the member drive.
And thanks for your support.
That witty banter between black friends and white friends has been a staple of sitcoms and buddy movies for years, but real conversations across the racial divide aren't always much fun.
You can say the N-word, but I can't? How is that okay?
We'll hear from a comedian behind the hit viral video about stuff white girls say to black girls. That's next time on Tell Me More.
This afternoon at 1 on WHYY.
This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moscowen talking with two members, including the chairman of the Archdiocese of Philadelphia's Blue Ribbon Commission, made the recommendations to close a number of schools here in the Philadelphia area, a number of other recommendations as well. And we're taking calls at 1-888-477-9499. That's 1-888-477-WHYY. Let me get to Don from Philadelphia to join us. And Don, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I graduated from Archbishop Bryan High School 30 years ago. All four of my kids went there. My youngest daughter will graduate this year. I don't know the exact numbers, but I think the graduating class will be a third of what it was when I graduated. The tuition's 10 times higher right now. I hope this makes a difference. I hope this helps. And I hate to see a good school like Archbishop Bryan get caught up in this sometime in the future. Just like all these other good schools. So, I mean, I don't know. Do you expect this to have an impact on the cost of tuition or the rate of rise of tuition? I mean, it's gone up dramatically every year. I've been doing this for 7 years now.
Well, Don, I appreciate the call. I'm going to toss it to Ed Hanway. Ed?
Don, we sure hope so. That was part of the motivation behind the recommendations, to have a sustainable system that could have some certainty relative to its financing. I don't think you can ever say tuition won't go up because costs continue to rise. But particularly at the grade school level, to the extent we have greater mass, we can afford programs more effectively, and hopefully we can provide a more stable tuition environment. I would say the same thing is driving the decisions relative to the high schools. You're right, tuition has continued to rise each year. The cost of educating has risen as well. Certainly we have teacher contracts that we have to honor. But nonetheless, the hope is that with a structure that is built around a sustainable model and good critical mass, we hope that there will be more stability in tuition. Certainly, it will be a very difficult situation if we don't make these changes.
Don, I appreciate the call to Radio Times. Let's go to Connecticut, and we have Howard joining our conversation. Howard, go ahead. You're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. I'm a graduate of Monsignor Bonner High School. I graduated in that baseline year, 1961. I think something that hasn't come up is the decline, severe decline, in the number of priests, nuns, and religious brothers who used to teach in those schools. I know the Augustinians have just pulled out of Monsignor Bonner. And for what it's worth, my daughter's elementary parochial school here in the Archdiocese of Hartford was...
Well, Jack, we lost the tail end of your comment, but let me take your what you said at the front end of the comment and put it to Jack Quinlan, which is, and I'm probably going back to 1961 when a quarter of a million students were attending Catholic schools here in the Philadelphia area, many of them taught by nuns and priests. Not so true today.
Absolutely. Now that's a part of the problem. That is, to the extent you don't have these wonderful people who operated who really taught for basically subsistence costs are not there any longer, and that has added to the cost base as well. And back to the earlier question, the fewer these, as you bring these schools together, hopefully we our fixed costs will not rise because you're closing a high school and people, hopefully kids moving to a neighboring high school, the fixed costs will not increase at that neighboring high school, and the unit costs will go down a little bit. So that should argue for trying to hold or holding the tuitions closer to a level, but not, as Ed said a minute ago, they are inevitably going to rise. Mm-hmm. But we do miss the clergy and the religious nuns and brothers.
Teachers, though, need a fair wage, do they not?
Oh, absolutely. No question about it.
Let me get, looks like Greg from Norristown to join our conversation. And Greg, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning.
My question is this. This is a wonderful opportunity to put pressure on the state legislature on the vouchers issue. Why didn't the commission come out and say, this is what's going to happen, at the end of next school year, if we don't get vouchers, we could have the media cover this weekly until those people in Harrisburg man up and they either vote. I don't care what way they vote, man up and tell us, are you with us or are you against us? And if you're against us, you're going to be out. And the other thing I want to say about the appeal process coming up, you guys yourself say in the report, no report is perfect. And I'm sure this one isn't. And I expect to see some appeals succeed. And if this success is the success rate of appeals is zero, then I would assume that this whole appeal process is nothing more than a public relations exercise typical. But I expect to see an appeal win, one or two.
Okay,
and if nobody wins, I think it's a sham.
Fair enough. Greg, I appreciate those passions. And actually, to Ed Hanway, I mean, we have a governor who's in support of school vouchers, and yet this issue kind of languishes in Harrisburg.
We do, and the commission was very clear that we as a community need to become very, very proactive in making the case that this is a social justice issue and that Catholic families deserve to have support and that that support can definitely make a difference in the ability of these schools to remain open and provide a viable option for students who cannot otherwise afford it. We couldn't agree more with the sentiments expressed by your caller and, in fact, have called for that, and I think the Archbishop himself has reinforced that in some of the communications that that he's made.
To you, though, Jack Quinlan, and picking up on that, without school vouchers, can Catholic schools survive, especially in Philadelphia?
They'll survive, but whether there'll be as many of them, whether we'll have to go through this process down the road is an open question. I go back to the bill for a minute. You know, Senate Bill 1 did pass last year. They just didn't get anywhere in the House. Mm-hmm. And we have to focus more intently. As the caller said, it's an issue, and I think the people have to get out and let their representatives understand the issue as they see it. And we did, as Ed said, we were calling, you know, for a much more stronger advocacy in our report. We strongly recommend it that we get more active in that area.
Let me take one more caller before we have to say goodbye to you, and this is Marianne from Delaware County. Marianne, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Yeah, hi, Marty.
Hi.
Thank you. It's a very good program.
Thank you.
I just have one comment and two quick questions. My child transferred from public school to Catholic school about 2 years ago because of the things that we wanted that they taught in the Catholic school. I myself went to Catholic grade school and high school. So I understand why the schools need to close, and I think that in the end, financially, it might make them stronger, more viable, and sustainable. My two questions are...
you know what, Marianne, if you don't mind, just do one, only because we got a lot of people
okay.
and another guest waiting.
My question is, then, in the schools that are merging, it seems that I went to a meeting last night at our school. People were up in arms because of the, you know, the merger and how we need to take the school apart and rebuild it from the ground up. And this is a school that was performing well, meeting all the standards. It seems to me it would be less traumatic to the parents from both schools that are merging if they left those decisions to the schools themselves. Mm-hmm. They were told that they need to change their uniforms, change their logos, change their colors. I mean, things that are not that important, but in the scheme of things to the families are very important. And to the kids themselves, it seems like it would make it less traumatic. The schools that they're coming from both wear the exact same uniforms already, and they were told they're not allowed to keep them. And what I really truly worry about is the kids that, you know, it's going to be us and them, that the kids from the other school that's coming, the kids in this school, there's going to be some resentment,
okay.
you know, why you,
okay.
you know, changed. And it's going to break down the community that we really want to achieve.
I hear you. Let me give Ed Hanway a chance to weigh in on that. Ed?
The sentiments are understandable. In my knowledge, there is not any dictate that suggests that uniforms have to change or that logos have to change. The implementation at a local level, as I understand how the instructions have been given, is very much to empower the two local parishes to come together and make those kinds of decisions on their own. Now, there has been encouragement, for example, to provide a new name to reinforce the fact that this is a new day and this is now a regional school. But those decisions, many of which you referenced in your call, are very much intended to be done at a local level with the transition committee that is to be formed in bringing those two schools together. And it's my hope that those committees can very much begin to focus quickly on the important issues of the future, and that some of those issues that are emotional, as you just mentioned, can be figured out and concluded by those local transition teams pretty quickly.
Marion, thanks for the call to Radio Times. And Ed Hanway and Jack Quinlan, thank you for joining us as well.
You're welcome.
Our pleasure. My pleasure.
And Jack Quinlan, chairman of the 16-member Archdiocese of Philadelphia's Blue Ribbon Commission. Ed Hanway, a member of that Blue Ribbon Commission. Joining us now is Rita Schwartz. She's president of the Association of Catholic Teachers, representing the Archdiocese High School Teachers. And Rita Schwartz, you've been listening in, and thanks for joining us today on Radio Times.
Thank you, Marty. I'm glad to be here.
Glad to have you here. I'm going to quote something from a press release from your organization. This is indeed a sad day for Catholic education in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. You go on to say the closing of these schools will have a tremendously negative impact on all teachers, students, and parents in our schools. The neighborhoods surrounding the affected schools will suffer. What should the Archdiocese, even the Blue Ribbon Commission, what should they have done?
Well, I would have preferred, I think, to see them do it. It looks so hurried right now. They did postpone the original time of release of the report, which was, I believe, supposed to be in October, until January. Now, you know, you've got people scrambling to find schools for their kids. They're grieving right now. This is like a death. So, you know, you're hitting them and asking them to find a new school. You're asking the schools that want to protest this and file an appeal to do it in a very short period of time. I just wish they had done this if it had to be done. And I'm not saying that some of this didn't have to be done. It's not that it had to be done. It's how they did it.
Mm. What I read is something like 1,700 teachers will be affected. That doesn't mean necessarily they'll be laid off, but is that number correct?
Well, 1,700 teachers sounds good to me. It sounds bad to me, but I mean,
sure,
the number sounds right. All the elementary teachers that are affected in those 44 schools are going to be laid off. It's not a question of will they all be laid off. Yes, all elementary teachers will be laid off, and then they have to reapply for a job.
And just to underscore that, the elementary school teachers in the Archdiocese, they're not represented by a union. Is that right?
They are not represented by a union. They have no contract. They have no protection. The rules as to how they are supposed to do all of this have all been promulgated from on high, and I think that is unconscionable. I really do.
So they would be, and we're talking about elementary school teachers, then they would, I guess if schools are being merged, they would then apply like anybody else and be considered like anybody else?
Well, what I'm understanding is that if two schools are pairing and coming together, the teachers from those two schools are the ones that have the opportunity to apply for the positions in that school, however many positions they're going to be, and that's decided based on the enrollment. So I don't know how many teachers are going to be needed at these paired schools.
And how about for high school teachers? And you this is your union. You represent high school teachers.
Yes.
What kind of, I guess, rights do they have?
Well, the high school teachers are protected by a negotiated contract, which, interestingly enough, in September, we had a two-week strike. And the strike was primarily about the language that the Archdiocese wanted to insert in our contract, which would have laid us all off and have us only be able to apply for jobs. So it's kind of like, thank you, God. We held strong on the picket line, and we did not get that language in. So there is language that says how teachers who are in the four affected schools and in the other high schools that are going to be cut back too based on their enrollment, how they pick their new positions. But our teachers have a right based on their length of service and their academic competency. They have a right to a job.
And looking at the schools in the Philadelphia area, the Catholic schools, what percentage of them have lay teachers? What percent of students are taught by nuns and priests? Do you know?
Unfortunately, our schools today are almost totally devoid of teaching priests, brothers, and religious. We have a very, very small number, and that is upsetting to all of us because we are, you know, colleagues in education, but they're just not there. I mean, there are some schools where there may be one or two religious, there might be one or two priests, but over 95% of the teaching population is lay.
Let me get Tom from Bucks County to join our conversation. And Tom, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Hi. Thanks for taking the call.
You're welcome.
I just wanted to ask Rita Schwartz, you know, somebody that has been teaching for maybe 30 years, do they have much chance of being rehired?
Are you one of those teachers, Tom?
No, I'm not, but I know some.
And are we talking about elementary schools? Are we talking about
elementary school? I mean, it seems to me that it's pretty likely they're only going to hire, you know, rehire the youngest and the least, the lowest paid teachers. You know, the newest ones on the block.
Rita, can you weigh in on that?
Well, that's my fear. I'm hoping that, and again, it depends on whoever is hiring them. We don't even know who the people are that will be interviewing these teachers for jobs. My assumption is that it'll be the pastors and principals of the newly formed school, but even the principals are out. They're employees at will, too. So they're going to have to be, a new principal's going to have to be selected for whatever this new school entity is. But a 30-year teacher in an elementary school, I would hope, has the ability to get a job, but, you know, I'm fearful that they will not, because I agree. Not that God knows we are in Catholic teaching for the money, because we're not, but if you're making $10,000 more as a 30-year teacher and, you know, they can hire somebody for $10,000 less, the temptation is there to hire that younger teacher.
And Rita, speaking of money, what's the typical salary, even benefit package for a Catholic school teacher here in the Philly area?
Well, again, it depends on whether you're a high school teacher or an elementary teacher. A high school teacher, our starting salary is $37,000. We can go up past the $70,000 mark at the top of the scale. An elementary teacher, by my latest calculation, has to work probably into the high teens, 15, 16 years, to make the high school starting salary. So and their benefits, again, depend on the parish.
Can this be done? I mean, we're talking about, you mentioned your concerns about the appeals process and the timeline, the appeals process. Everything has to come together by, what, mid-February?
I believe that's the date, February 15th, yes.
And is it possible for if a school, and I'm assuming we're including parents here, can they organize in that amount of time to make their case if they want to appeal this?
Well, see, my understanding again, Marty, is that it's not that simple. In order for you to get to the table to make your appeal, you have to have an amount of money in the bank to cover your deficits. So you're asking them not only to make a presentation, but in, say, 2 weeks, they have to raise a substantial amount of money. At one school, it's over $1 million that they have to have in the bank in order for them even to sit at the table.
Well, Rita, thank you so much for joining us today on Radio Times. Good luck as well.
Thank you, Marty.
You're welcome. Rita Schwartz, head of the Association of Catholic Teachers, the third of four guests in this hour of Radio Times. We're talking about the decision of the Archdiocese of Philadelphia to close 45 elementary schools and 4 high schools at the start of the new school year. 1-888-477-9499. We'll be right back.
Hello, I'm Margaret Kuo. 2012 or 4710 on the Chinese calendar is the Year of the Dragon, the most revered of the Chinese zodiac. I have created Year of the Dragon menu to celebrate the Chinese New Year. Margaret Kuo's restaurants support WHYY.
I do so long to go through the crowded streets of your mighty London.
Actor Gary Oldman is so good at what he does, you might not recognize him from role to role. From his campy portrayal of Dracula to Sirius Black in Harry Potter, and now George Smiley in Tinker, Tailor, Soldier, Spy. Gary Oldman on the next Fresh Air.
This afternoon at 3 and again tonight at 7 on WHYY.
I'm Robin Young. Join us next time for the news and these stories here and now. What are Ford, Chrysler, GM, Chinese automakers up to at the Detroit Auto Show? Also, music producer Betty Wright, she coached Gloria Estevan, taught J-Lo to sing. Beyonce samples her. Now Betty Wright is getting back behind the mic with a new album. That's Public Radio's Daily Digest of News and Culture, here and now.
Today at noon on WHYY.
The Chester County Hospital supports WHYY and is affiliated with the Cleveland Clinic's Heart Surgical Program. Their surgeons are performing breakthrough procedures, including minimally invasive heart valve surgeries. Details at chestercountyhospital.org.
This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moscoen. Declining enrollments and rising costs have forced the Archdiocese of Philadelphia to announce the closure of 45 elementary schools and 4 high schools at the start of the new school year. That's our topic for today's Radio Times. We have just a couple open lines at 1-888-477-9499. That's 1-888-477-WHYY. And our fourth guest in this hour is Stephanie Sirocki, co-founder and general partner of Seton Education Partners. That's a nonprofit working to revitalize urban Catholic education. Co-wrote Saving America's Urban Catholic Schools, A Guide for Donors. And Stephanie Sirocki, nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
My pleasure. Thank you.
You're welcome. Is the Philadelphia Archdiocese doing essentially what other archdioceses and cities are doing?
Yes. Philly is certainly not alone. The Archdiocese of New York announced plans to close 30 of their schools last year, and it looks like in the next 2 years they'll likely close another 30 to 50 more. Archdiocese of Baltimore closed 13 of its 64 schools 2 years ago. Philly is not alone.
But we are talking about 45 elementary schools, 4 high schools. In fact, we had 2 members of the Blue Ribbon Commission saying, you know, this should have been looked at earlier than now.
I think that nobody wants to close a school, whether it's a district school or it's a private Catholic school. It's a tough thing to do politically. It's a tough thing for families. It's a tough thing for the kids. And so a lot of the schools have been basically limping by for many, many years. And I think especially as you have a strategic plan, look at it, it probably makes sense to do this all in one fell swoop.
We're talking about, and I'm repeating myself here, but I just want to get you up to speed here. Back in 1961, about 250,000 students went to Catholic schools in the Philadelphia area. Today, it's about 68,000, which to me is a pretty dramatic drop. There was talk that, you know, the economy has affected it. The costs have affected it as well. Certainly in Philadelphia, there are charter schools. There's more competition. I wonder if the clergy scandal has played any role in this declining enrollment.
you're going to give me a hard question.
Yes.
Nobody has done any serious research on that question. My sense from talking with archdioceses across the country is that it really has had a very slight effect. It is not the driver. School enrollment has been declining since the 1960s at a fairly steady pace. We've had 1,000 Catholic schools every decade since the 1960s shut down, and that long before there was a sex abuse crisis.
In Philadelphia, there is a fair amount of competition among schools, whether they're public schools or charter schools, private and religious schools as well. Is that a good thing for Catholic education?
I think it's a good thing for Philadelphia. And I think that many people in the Catholic sector will, nobody likes competition. And so that can be a hard thing. But I think what we need in America is more great schools for our kids, period. And that includes Catholic schools.
Besides the religious part, what is a Catholic school, or I guess perhaps what should a Catholic school give its or provide for its students?
So they can do what they've been doing for 100 years and doing better than basically anybody else. They provide very strong academics. They help develop character in children, and probably that is one of the most important things. They build community. And especially if you look at the research on Catholic education and the poor and new immigrants, they educate low-income kids better than any other school, and they do it at a fraction of the cost.
But it sounds like at a fraction of the cost, they're paying the price for that now because it's unsustainable.
It's not sustainable. back in the 1960s, 95% of your staff were nuns, brothers, and priests. Fast forward to today, it's fewer than 5%. So in the 60s, you could provide an education for close to free because you weren't paying salaries and benefits. That was being absorbed by the church. We don't have the same level of vocations in the church today. And so the basic financial model is a lot tougher.
Well, and there was the Blue Ribbon Commission in Philadelphia talked about the creation of a foundation to help raise money. Are other cities doing that to help defray some of these costs?
Yes. Philanthropic support has been a huge help in places like Los Angeles, even in places like New York City in terms of I think the closures would be much more significant if there wasn't philanthropic involvement. Philanthropy alone is not going to do the trick, though.
What else would help?
We really need lay people to step up and get involved, and I think that's what the commission is proposing. We don't have enough priests and nuns to carry the burden anymore, and so we need business leaders. We need people with experience in management and operations and finances come in and lend their expertise and their leadership.
And why do you think it isn't happening at the level that you recommend?
Because I think that change is hard and change is slow, especially in the Catholic Church. And there are many good things when you're an institution that is so enduring. The old paradigm when the pastor was in charge and the pastor was making these decisions doesn't make sense anymore. It doesn't mean that pastors shouldn't be involved. Mm-hmm. It just means we should really be using our pastors for their spiritual leadership and then relying on lay people to help with the operational management of the schools.
So less top-down, it sounds like you're saying.
Definitely a role for... I would never say there shouldn't be a role. There's tremendous value in clergy involvement in their leadership, but they don't have time anymore. You'd have a church with many priests. Now you have one pastor who has so many different responsibilities, and they really need help.
And that's Stephanie Sirocki, our fourth and final guest in this hour of Radio Times, talking about the Archdiocese of Philadelphia's decision to close elementary schools and high schools, merge some schools here in the Philadelphia area. She's co-founder, general partner of Seton Education Partners, a nonprofit working to revitalize Catholic education nationwide. And we're taking calls about what can be done to, in a sense, help to bolster Catholic schools, whether it's here in the Philadelphia area or across the country. And we're taking calls at 1-888-477-9499. That's 1-888-477-WHYY. Stephanie Sirocki said that lay people need to step up. We're interested if you're willing to do that. Before we get to our callers, though, Stephanie, let me ask you about school vouchers. And it's an issue here in Pennsylvania, an issue obviously in other states as well. Have school vouchers been able to, in a sense, save Catholic schools in other cities and other regions?
Yes, they have been able to save many Catholic schools, in large part because families want to send their kids to a Catholic school. And many non-Catholic families especially value what Catholic schools offer.
And in Pennsylvania, it hasn't passed through the House yet, but the idea is, at least initially, it targets low-income families. This voucher bill would be for low-income families to help them out. And I know you're interested in urban education. Do you see that as significant?
I see it as huge. In America, if you have money, you have choice about where you send your child to school. You can move to an area that has great public schools, or you can afford to pay tuition at a private school. If you don't have money, you don't have those choices. And many of your government operated schools are really not serving our poor the way that they should be. So it would be huge for the state, for underserved families, and it would keep open Catholic schools because they tend to be a preferential option.
Let me see what Peter from Springfield has to say. And Peter, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Yes, hi, Marty. Good morning.
Good morning.
I noticed the conversation is about the use of the land. I graduated from West Catholic in the mid-60s, and a classmate of mine called last night, and we discussed it, and he seems to think strongly, and I believe, that the value of the school closed and the land value is more important to the Catholic Archdiocese than to have it open as the education for the children. The real estate value, they sold West Catholic Boys land on Chestnut Street, which was just rebuilt this year for West Philadelphia High School. I think it's a $10 million venture. I believe that the real estate value for these 40-some-odd properties that are up on the blocks now are the real reason that they're selling or they're closing them down in order to get that money to pay for the church scandals. And I'd be interested what your guest would have to say about that.
Peter, I appreciate the call to Radio Times. Stephanie, that's a Philadelphia-centric question, but nonetheless, anything you want to say in response?
Yeah, real estate has value for sure, and the church has a lot of facilities. And bottom line is that in Philly, the average parish subsidies for these schools was over $300,000, and that was still not cutting it in many of the schools. It wasn't enough to keep the schools open. So I think it's likely that just the fact that they couldn't keep them open was hard, but there's definitely real estate value.
And what you hear in Peter's question, Stephanie, is not only frustration, but a kind of suspicion about this decision.
You know, I actually think many of these schools have been kept open longer than they probably should have been if you were any pragmatist.
Because of just the cost, the sheer cost?
The sheer cost. So they're running deficits, and enrollment has been down, and the costs are higher. And you can't run an elementary school with 150 students in any financially responsible way. And so parishes have been giving and giving, but it hasn't made the schools financially sustainable. So this is probably a long time in coming.
I was reading about in some cities converting Catholic schools to charters. How does that work?
It's very complicated.
I bet.
And generally, it's not a conversion. What happens is the Catholic schools shut down, and new charter schools are put in their place. So the Archdiocese of Washington shut down 7, and 6 new charter schools sprung up. The Archdiocese of Miami did the same. Indianapolis recently closed 2 of their inner-city schools. They were looking at closing 4, actually, based on financial troubles. And they said, you know what? We have always been here. We have always served this community. We cannot leave them behind. Instead of closing 4 schools, let's think about shutting 2 of them down and putting charters in their place so that those families still have a good educational option.
Are these Catholic charters?
No, there's no such thing as a Catholic charter.
I was wondering about that.
They are, a charter school is secular according to the law. It's a school of choice. It's a public school, and it's publicly accountable, but it's privately run. And you can certainly take a lot of the lessons of Catholic schools at a charter school. So you can value the inherent dignity of every child. You can have strong academics. You can have structure and discipline, and you can focus on character. But they have to be secular schools. They cannot teach that one religion is a true religion.
And they have to take the crosses off and all the religious statuary, right?
Yes.
Let me get, looks like Mark from Wilmington to join our conversation. And Mark, go ahead, you're on Radio Times.
Thank you, Ms. Musquay. I appreciate
welcome.
You taking my call.
No problem.
I work for the Catholic Church, and I was wondering what your caller or what your guest might say about how we Catholics are terrible at tithing and how, by and large, we are below our brothers and sisters in the Episcopal and the Lutheran churches. Would that have a greater effect on sustaining these elementary schools? Thank you.
You're welcome, Mark. Mark, a quick question. Can you answer your own question about why tithing is so low?
I just think that generally we Catholics give on average 1 to 2% of our annual salary rather than the traditional 8 to 10%. I think even if we hit 5%, we would actually be better equipped to sustain our schools.
Well, it's interesting. Stephanie? Thoughts?
Yeah, Catholics are. It's not just the Protestant religions that beat Catholics in terms of tithing. It's the Mormons. It's the Jews. We are probably the lowest tithers. One of the reasons for that is we used to give our sons and daughters to the church, and that was actually a huge economic contribution. That's not happening anymore, and I love the question from your caller, because I've always believed, but I don't know how to make it happen, that if every Catholic in their 30s and 40s and 50s said, you know what, we're going to double our tithe, which is not even close to what the church calls for, that we could really save these schools.
We have about a minute before we have to say goodbye here, and I think there is some concern about this decision. Just came out within the last week, and the idea of closing so many schools or even merging schools before the start of the new school year, which is really just 6 months away, or I guess 7-8 months away. What are the challenges, Stephanie, from your perspective?
I think the biggest challenge is that, as the previous guest said, people are heartbroken, and there are going to be management challenges, especially if you think about mergers, because that's a hard thing to do. Who's mm-hmm. really going to be in charge of the school when you put two schools together? I think the biggest challenge is going to be for parents to figure out where's the best place for my child.
And can there be a happy ending to this?
I actually think there's a lot of hope in Philadelphia. I think there's going to be pain, and I don't think the pain was avoidable, frankly, but I think that I actually think you have one of the strongest archbishops in the country when it comes to Catholic education. He's passionate about it, and there's tremendous hope, and I think you have so many people who haven't yet been involved who could be mobilized to get involved.
Well, I appreciate you joining us today on Radio Times. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Stephanie Sirocki, co-founder, general partner of Seton Education Partners. That's a nonprofit working to revitalize Catholic education nationwide. Author of Saving America's Urban Catholic Schools, A Guide for Donors. We also spoke with Rita Schwartz, president of the Association of Catholic Teachers. Jack Quinlan, chairman of the 16-member Archdiocese of Philadelphia's Blue Ribbon Commission. And Ed Hanway, a member of that Blue Ribbon Commission. Go to whyy.org/radiotimes to find out much more about this program. I'm Marty Moscowane. Thank you so much for joining us in this first hour of Radio Times. We'll be right back.